Everybody loves a wedding, right? You have to admit that, right? Interestingly enough, I'll be meeting this coming Tuesday with a couple who'll be married in just a few months here in this church. And it's a really exciting time. There's usually a lot that goes into a wedding celebration, including a gathering of family and friends to celebrate that a man and a woman have decided to spend their lives together and have it blessed by Jesus. Now, in the time of Jesus, the festivities always began on Monday and lasted 7 days. Can you imagine having to pay the bill for a wedding that was 7 days long? Wow. Whew. Can you just imagine catering that? Whew. There were large quantities of food and wine, too. Rhythmic music and, of course, lively dancing. In our gospel account, as the party raged on, the host ran out of wine, causing them what would have been great embarrassment. Now I'm going to ask you to please open your pew Bibles to page 1649. That's John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the ceremony. Now, there are two places in the Galilee that have been identified as the village of Cana, where Jesus performed the miracles of turning water into wine at a wedding feast and healing the official's son. Both are very near Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. It was from the town of Cana that Nathanael, his whole name is Nathanael Bartolome. Bar meaning son of, and Tolome was his father. If you put that together, that's Bartholomew. So sometimes people look at the lists of the apostles and say, I find Nathanael, but I don't see Bartholomew. He's the same one. He's also the same one that said, can anything good come from Nazareth? I'm sure that didn't make him too popular with those at the wedding feast, right? Well, he later became one of Jesus' apostles and was also present when the risen Christ appeared to the disciples and made them breakfast by the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21, verse 2. Now, this wedding site, where thousands of pilgrims visit, is not far from Nazareth and sells a very sweet wine labeled wine from Cana, reflecting upon the marriage feast. On our visit to Israel in 2014, just about a week or so before coming here to visit for the very first time, I was blessed to celebrate the marriage of a man and woman from St. Bartholomew's at the kibbutz on the Sea of Galilee called Magan Holiday Village. Let me tell you, if you want to stay at any place near the Sea of Galilee, this is the place. Kids, there's a water slide. Adults, there's everything you could possibly want. And it's not a sandy shore. It's the Sea of Galilee has a lot of rocks. So you wade out on the rocks, and I would suggest you wear some of those shoes that you can go in on. Makes it for a little easier. Waterproof, of course, those rubber shoes. But the wine from Cana that was used for the service was very, very sweet. I much prefer the port wine that we use here at St. Andrew's, but nobody's going to complain when you're being given free wine, right? The wedding in Cana probably was involving the whole village, and there were people from neighboring ones too, which is why Mary, her son Jesus, and his friends were invited as well. Running out of wine would have been a total social disaster and a disgrace as well. That family would have to live with the shame of it for a long time to come. Can you just imagine walking down the street and saying, they're the ones that ran out of wine at the wedding. Can you believe it? Chintzy, right? Or, hey, did you catch a load of that? You know, society is society. The family would have to live with that shame for a long, long time, and a bride and groom would be seeing it as a misfortune on their married life. Jesus shows true compassion which comes where people are in need, and he deals with that need in an unexpected way. The transformation from water to wine signifies the effect that Jesus can have and can still have on people's lives. The event also shows Jesus' love and obedience to his mother Mary. Now, with huge amounts of food and wine consumed, there was concern for the hosts, because running out of wine would have been this huge black eye upon them. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, asks for his help. And Jesus tells her in John chapter 2, verse 4, as you'll see in your Bible if you still have it open, "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." Mary, Jesus' mother, knows better than to argue with God. She simply tells the servants, I love this, "Do whatever he tells you." John chapter 2, verse 5. She knows that his power is going to be demonstrated. She doesn't know how or why. And I think it's interesting for us to know that as Jesus tells them to go and fill the jars, he doesn't touch the jars. He has them take them and fill them, but he has no contact with the jars. That its power is that he has spoken for them to fill the jars. Mary has faith in Jesus, and so she tells these servants, and I'm going to repeat this again, do whatever he tells you. Jesus exhibits two things here in this gospel reading. One, and most importantly, is obedience to his mother's wishes. He was a good Jewish boy. You don't cross a Jewish mama. No. Let's face it, you don't cross a Southern mama either. It doesn't matter. You just don't cross mama. The second is compassion for people in need. I thought it very interesting how certain people just started looking at the mamas in the room, you know. But it's true. You know, my kids know, don't cross mom, and it works. But what happens next in the gospel is evidence of both obedience and compassion. In verses 6 to 10, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Remember, he didn't touch anything. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now. John chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. The transformation from water to wine shows us the effect that Jesus can and still has today on people's lives. Mary's faith and the obedience of the servants allows each of us to see the faith that is necessary for miracles to happen and transformations that take place and have taken place in our own lives. Verse 11 gives us more. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. They put their faith in him. They had seen that this was a man who not only walked the walk, but he talked the talk. What Jesus said, he did. There's a moment of hesitation after Mary's impassioned plea to her son Jesus. During that brief moment, Mary looks into her son's face and sees a decidedly different man than the one who's lived with her and who she cared for 30 years. Let us just look back at what has happened to Jesus. If you recall, last week's gospel was the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. After he was baptized near Jericho, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by the devil, yet he did not sin. And after that, he returned to the Galilee region, and he started to call his disciples. Then he returned to Nazareth, and as we read today, he was invited to a wedding feast. Interestingly enough, next week we're going to hear of an event that takes place after this in the synagogue at Nazareth, which Deacon Bob will be preaching about. He was invited to this wedding feast. The man that Mary looked at bears chiseled sculpting from his 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism in the Jordan. He's leaner now, more serious, and much more intense. Jesus hesitates because he knows that if he meets this need by supernatural means, his life will never be the same. No, after this one wedding, the small town seclusion of his life would be behind him forever. This was a turning point. For the next 3.5 years, his only time alone to himself would be moments that he could get away in an olive grove before dawn, or brief moments in quiet where he could steal away on a barren hillside after dark. Fellowship with his Father would come only at the expense of his sleep, because the needs of the people were so very, very great. I'm sure Jesus thought about the embarrassment that this couple would experience. No way to start a honeymoon, let alone a new life together in that community. You see, when people got married, they didn't build a house or move away. They built onto the Father's house. And so the Father's house had many rooms. Sound familiar? They needed help. Jesus was compassionate, and so without a word from his lips, without a touch from his hand, he simply wills the water to become wine. The way Jesus revealed his glory was with a quiet miracle. No fanfare, just the mighty hand of God working silently behind the scenes in an hour of need. This would be the very first miracle that was ever recorded by Jesus. Now, I hate the word performing, because it makes it sound like it's a show on a stage, but a lot of times there's no better way to say it. But we can say that Jesus caused a miracle to happen. He was not doing this for his own thirst, but to satisfy the needs of others. The unveiling of the glory of God must have enlarged the disciples' faith. You imagine them watching all this take place? They must have been speaking amongst themselves. Can you believe what just happened? He did that. They would see so much more in the next 3 years, as we find out between here and Calvary. I pray that this first miracle would touch our hearts today. Jesus knows our needs and awaits our seeking his glory and mercy. Jesus told us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Those words are from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. As for us, I think we need to follow Mary's instructions. Do whatever he tells you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.